So Facebook is going public. Now what?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Facebook's filing late yesterday to sell stock to the public means it's going to get billions of new dollars to spend. After Google went public, it bought dozens of startups, and Facebook is expected to follow suit, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
To get an idea of where Facebook might spend its money, take out your smartphone and try uploading photos to your Facebook page. Deborah Williamson is an analyst with eMarketer. She's tried it.
Then you go, wait a second, I want to upload, 20 photos. I don't want to upload one at a time, and I can't find a way to do that on my mobile.
Williamson says Facebook needs to improve the mobile experience, especially if it wants to keep attracting new users. Facebook agrees. Six of the 11 companies it bought last year dealt in mobile.
I wouldn't be surprised if they make more acquisitions in the mobile front.
She says Facebook may also buy companies for their human assets, the tech geeks who work there. Rebecca Lieb is with the Altimeter Group.
Facebook is probably going to start having a bit of an attrition problem when it goes public and creates a bunch of instant, 20-something millionaires overnight. Some of these people are going to want to buy homes or travel or drive Maseratis.
Writing code, driving a Maserati. That's a tough choice. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
I'll take the Maserati. Now to Washington, where today Congress will be asking questions about child labor in agriculture. The government was set to impose new rules limiting the work kids are allowed to do on farms, but those rules are being reconsidered after an outcry from farmers. Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reports.
Who gets to decide if it's okay for a child to work in a pen with an aggressive farm animal? Congressman Scott Tipton is a Colorado Republican and chair of a House subcommittee on small business. He says Washington doesn't get what he calls the matrix of agricultural America.
I come from a farm and ranch community. You know, these are great grandparents, grandparents, parents who live in the same area, share their labor force, which happens to be family.
On the same House subcommittee, California Democrat Judy Chu says child labor laws are overdue for an update and should be made tougher.
When you hear about horrific incidents like where young people are killed in the grain silos, you know that something must be done about it.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 3/4 of the children killed in work-related accidents in 2010 were working on farms. In Washington, I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. We're down about 0.2% right now in London. Bank downsizing and the end of seasonal hiring for retailers sent the number of planned layoffs in this country to a 4-month high, according to Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 83 points to close at 12,716.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, agents committed to small business success. 1-866-200-4BIZ. We are insurance. We are farmers.
With just 2 days to go until the Nevada Republican caucus, let's continue our Marketplace election series, The Real Economy, with the story of a state that is essentially the economic opposite of Nevada. It's a state that relies on farming, and with high crop prices, its citizens have a lot of money to spend. Marketplace's David Gura takes us now to the economic bright spot that is Nebraska.
Tom Joyce caters to some pretty high-end clients.
I tell our salesmen we're dealing with millionaires every day. And you make sure you treat them well. I mean, like you're the maitre d' of a nice restaurant.
Joyce manages the Plains Equipment Group. It's a John Deere dealership just off I-80. Each piece of merchandise he sells, a new tractor, a new combine, costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Think of it this way.
These guys buy Lamborghinis and Ferraris every year. They'll buy a $250,000 machine that they'll use for 6 weeks of the year.
We're looking at a 16-row John Deere planter.
Mark Jagels keeps one of those forest green farm Ferraris in his equipment shed. He grows corn and soybeans in Davenport, Nebraska, about 80 miles away. The tractor's Bluetooth enabled with satellite radio and air conditioning. computerized with GPS.
The monitor here, that is everything from our guidance and controls the planter and everything right there.
In the winter, Jagels programs the system with his laptop. He tells it what to plant and where, how much fertilizer goes on a line of crops. Then, in the springtime,
I find that field, I bring up that line, boom, it's right there. You should never be off more than 1 or 2 inches as you're driving through the field.
Jagels says farming isn't as physical as it used to be. Today, a tractor like this one can pretty much drive itself.
I can flip the steering wheel up, I can sit here, I can answer emails, I can do whatever I want to.
And according to Jagels, there's a lot less waste. In the kitchen, he shows me a printout with data from the tractor.
Planted soybeans, the average rate was 169,390 seeds per acre. It gives me the total seeds applied and the total acres that I planted.
And that kind of information, Jagels says, that efficiency is worth every penny. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, where people are celebrating the holiday known as Groundhog Day. Then put your little hand in mine. Remember that song from the movie? Well, Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow this morning, which means 6 more weeks of winter or whatever this nationwide heat wave is. Here at Marketplace, we thought we'd ask some economic experts what they're expecting for the next 6 weeks. Here's Tara Sinclair at the George Washington University.
I don't know as a groundhog if I'm going to see my economic shadow because I need to know what's going on with Europe and if it's a cloud over our sky or not.
All right, let's get one more prediction now from Jack Ablin with Harris Private Bank.
Poking my head out of my burrow here, I think that things are looking to improve. What we're looking at is a situation in Europe that's not deteriorating. It's really just staying sideways. And the longer the news stays sideways, the more insulated I think we all become.
Well, that's what the experts think. Send us your economic predictions. Just go to marketplace.org and click on the groundhog. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's a funny thing, but in Las Vegas, the number of foreclosures and the price of a college degree move together.
It just seems so hard to imagine that because it's like it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The state of things through the eyes of college students. It's the real economy. Our election coverage next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.